Hello, my name is Lucane Hunsicker, and I am the Vice President of Market Solutions here at FeedsEye. And today I wanted to speak to you why fraud nomenclature should matter to banks. You would think fraud would be an easy enough term for the financial services sector to agree upon. Unfortunately, it's not so simple. Because FIs, or financial institutions, handle risk operations differently, the term carries unique meanings from organization to organization. What's more, the digitization of banking makes it easier than ever for consumers to quickly transfer money to a new account and for fraudsters to scale their operations. The latest FeedsEye Financial Crime Report found in Australia, banking fraud attacks increased by a whopping 259% from Q2 of 2020 to Q2 of 2021. Given these disparities, it's never been more important for banks and FIs to agree on proper fraud nomenclature. Agreeing on labeling practices is essential for banks to fight fraud more effectively and get ahead of any regulatory changes. Think of these steps as a difference between building an ark before the flood as opposed to waiting for the first few drops of rain. Fraud by any other name. Ask any two risk analysts to define identity-based fraud, and chances are, depending on the organization, you'll get three different definitions. Did the fraudster steal their victim's online credentials to commit an account takeover attack? Did the fraudster create a new account using another person's identity? Did they create an entirely new synthetic identity by combining both real and fake information? Or did the authorized account holder knowingly commit a crime? These different criteria can leave many risk operators struggling to understand exactly what type of fraud occurred and how to classify it. What's even more frustrating is that financial institutions may not get the chance to understand the incidents better. Risk operators write reports and share them with law enforcement agencies, but responses take too long or never come at all. Banks are essentially left with a broken feedback loop. Can a fraud classifier promote fraud nomenclature unity? These breakdowns over fraud nomenclature can make it harder for banks to understand fraud and to create barriers to prevent further attacks successfully. To address this issue, the Boston Federal Reserve unveiled the Fraud Classifier Model last year. The model starts with a simple question: Who initiated the payment? Was the initiator the authorized user? Were they tricked? Did they act maliciously? Was their information altered? And then for each of those questions, how did that event happen? Also, was the initiator an unauthorized user? How did they commit the fraud? Did they commit account takeover? Did they abuse the user's payment information? And then again, how did it happen? The Fraud Classifier tool offers a simple blueprint for banks to build their own risk management sequence of operations to address fraud. By clearly defining the sequence of events, financial institutions can more carefully craft their risk compliance policy and better understand whether a fraud event was first or third-party fraud. The steps outlined in the Fraud Classifier model offers users a roadmap to build more accurate fraud labels. Using this labeling, risk operators can work backwards to understand how fraud occurred. From there, new features and products can be developed to prevent similar fraud attacks from transpiring. These efforts to understand, label, and ultimately stop fraud are of increasing importance in the age of instant payments, where money is transferred in seconds with little hope for recovery. Why it's important to agree on fraud nomenclature. The Boston Fed's Fraud Classifier Model is a starting point for the industry to unite around common flow fraud nomenclature, especially as regulators start to consider whether banks should reimburse or compensate victims for certain types of fraud. We're already seeing regulators in the UK move in this direction. Widespread authorized push payment fraud prompted the launch of the Contingent Reimbursement Model, or CRM code, in 2019 for the UK financial services market. Financial institutions that voluntarily join the CRM agree to reimburse victims for funds lost to authorized push payments fraud if they meet specific conditions. Some U.S. regulators are also considering similar measures. Earlier this year, the House passed the Elder Abuse Protection Act of 2021. The proposal aims to expand protections for elderly citizens and tasks the Elder Justice Initiative, or EJI, that operates within the Justice Department with addressing elder abuse and neglect. This bill also will cover senior citizen fraud scams. And then some states have also enacted laws designed to protect elderly victims from financial fraud and other types of abuse. Under the California Identity Theft Act, for example, victims of identity theft are able to recover up to $30,000 in civil penalties from claimants, as well as compensation of their actual damages and attorney fees if their case is successful. Tips for banks to address fraud nomenclature. It's not clear which regulations will ultimately take effect or be expanded more broadly industry-wide. While the regulatory changes are uncertain, banks can take steps to prepare for possible victim reimbursement regulations. Number one, get ahead of regulations. Financial institutions must study the different regulatory initiatives and proposals that can impact their operations. Having this insight enables banks to get ahead of regulations instead of reacting once they become law. Number two, make sure your data supports the regulation. Having clear fraud labels in place is key to adopting new regulatory realities. For example, if regulations eventually require financial institutions to compensate victims of authorized push payment fraud, that bank will need to know which fraud incidents fit those specific criteria. Developing this clear understanding of how to tag fraud will pay off in the long run. Financial institutions also need to ensure they can demonstrate the effectiveness of their labeling to their board members as well. Number three, ensure your staff is well-trained. Practicing strong fraud nomenclature hygiene should be a top priority for your entire organization, from the board members to the bank tellers on the front lines. Ensure your staff is trained on how to properly report and label different types of fraud to reduce the likelihood of mislabeling or incorrect categorization. Number four, take risks and controls into consideration. Financial institutions must assess the risk and controls that any real-time payment system requires. As FIs implement new payment methods like mobile wallets or cryptocurrency, they must prepare for new types of traffic and increased volumes. You may want to consider working with experienced partners to help implement the appropriate controls. And number five, focus on your operations team. Having the right fraud labels in place is essential for a bank's operations team. The more accurate the fraud labels are, the easier it is to build more accurate machine learning models. This can also lead to less customer friction and less time spent on manual fraud alert reviews. Banks with a clear fraud nomenclature system in place will be well positioned to lead the market, protect their reputations, and give confidence to their customers that their interest and finances are protected.